If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei so far. And we'd like to continue along the same line by asking you this question, Sheikh. What is the Islamic law regarding the kind of fluid that oozes out of blisters?
It's not impure. And okay, even if there is a kind of, they call it pus, right?
Yes.
That is, of course, it's not, medically speaking, it is not safe, mm-hmm. okay?
And it's very much disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting, of course. But from a Sharia point of view, since it's not mixed with blood, it's okay, even if it oozes out continuously, it's not necessary to wash it off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What if it's mixed with blood?
Blood, okay. Depending on whether it is, it's a kind of wound that is there,
right?
Because the blood of coming from a wound, and there's pus also, then that wound is, the blood is waved, and then it's not necessary to wash it off because it comes from a wound. Okay.
Yes.
There are two special terminologies used by the religious authorities. One is jarh, and the other is qarh. Okay.
Right.
Jarh is the wound, yes. The injury, and the qarh is the pus. And the blisters, as you said.
Yes.
So these two things are exempted in prayer. Even if there is a very large quantity of pus or blood coming out, provided that it does not spread to other parts of the body when it comes to blood, of course.
Or it doesn't affect, for example, the clothes, right?
The clothes, and maybe from one part of the body to another, it spreads out. One should prevent its
right.
spread. So in that case, it's not necessary to wash it off.
Mm-hmm, I see. What is the Islamic law regarding eating eggs while it's raw, not cooked or baked or anything like it?
Just like you eat raw fish, raw meat, it's also permissible to eat raw eggs. It's not necessary to cook, because cooking is not considered to be one of the purifying agents or one of the agents through which you make something halal.
Right.
Okay. When something is halal and permissible to eat after cooking, it's also halal to eat before cooking.
Yes.
Yes.
And all of it, in fact, is assumed, or we have to take for granted, that the eggs come from the halal eating birds, right?
Halal
eating birds.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Of course, right.
We are not allowed to take the eggs and eat the eggs of some kind of birds.
Yeah, eagles,
yeah.
You know, falcons, and
yes.
so on.
Which are not halal already.
Yes. But I'm telling you that, Japanese are people who are mostly in the habit of eating raw meat.
Mm.
Raw meat.
Like sushi, yeah.
Like mm-hmm. sushi.
Yeah.
So sushi, it's not okay to say sushi, to eat sushi, unless you are certain that the meat is halal, whether it comes from fish or animals, other animals.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back after the short break momentarily, where we continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
Ooh.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, what is the Islamic law regarding the prostration of Ziyarat Ashura?
Ziyarat Ashura. Well, Ziyarat Ashura is mustahab, okay, to read, to recite.
Yes.
Okay. Generally speaking, anything which is mustahab by itself cannot lead to something which is wajib, or cannot have something associated with wajib or, haram.
Right.
Okay. Reciting the ziyarah itself is mustahab. Okay. It's fine. And so is the prostration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's okay to just skip the prostration and not to do it,
mm-hmm.
just as it's okay to skip a part of the dua or the supplication and recite the remaining. Because there are teachings, there is wisdom in each part of this supplication or this ziyarah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there is a kind of, let's say, exposition of some things. We know the Yazid, those criminals, they are exposed through this Ziyarat Ashura, okay?
Mm.
And there's a kind of cursing also. There's no problem in doing all of this. And it's okay to choose not to do the Ziyarat, but it's recommended to do it.
Mm-hmm. Sheikh Javid, what is the Islamic law regarding the kind of moisture after a ghusl? Is it ritually impure, that moisture I'm talking about?
Well, it's very general. I don't know what kind of moisture it is, because if a man performs, has a kind of sexual intimacy or intercourse, and then he does not urinate.
Mm.
He performs ghusl and the moisture comes after he performs ghusl.
Right.
This moisture is impure. And if
After the ghusl,
this is impure. And if there is semen coming out, in the remaining amount, then he must perform ghusl again. But okay, if he urinates, urination is a kind of istibra.
Mm-hmm.
Istibra means to get rid of the remaining semen left in the passage, in the urinary passage.
Right.
So this is a kind of istibra for the ejaculation.
Right.
So to make sure that there's no semen left in the urinary passage. So if a person urinates and then he does another istibra for the urination, the fluid that comes out is not semen.
Right.
It's not urine either, because he did the istibra for both of them.
Right.
Yes, and it's called either wadi or madi, okay?
Right.
Yes.
But that happens to the males.
To the males.
What about the ladies?
Ladies.
Because their passages are different, right?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, so they cannot have the urination to do a kind of purifying, let's say.
Yes,
right?
They do not.
So if that moisture comes out of a lady after the ghusl, then what should they do?
Well, ladies do discharge fluid a lot.
Right.
And that discharge is called liquoria.
Right.
Yes. Liquoria is not najis, and ghusl does not become wajib. It is kind of a substance which is odorless,
right.
And it is milky,
Yes.
To some extent, it is sticky also.
Right.
And so it is called licoria, and licoria is not najis. It does not make ghusl wajib as well, and a woman can continue fasting,
what about
praying, even if she discharges that fluid.
Right. I'm talking about that kind of discharge of the fluid after the sexual intercourse for a lady. So if they do the ghusl, then if there's a moisture...
The religious authorities have said that they should just wash the private parts
right.
only. And okay, and nothing else. There's no ghusl.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. We come back momentarily.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, what is the Islamic law or jurisprudential rule according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei regarding keeping some kind of pets? By pets, I mean like cats and dogs, for example, inside the house.
Yes. Generally speaking, it's permissible to keep a cat or a dog, but it depends on your intention. Now, a dog is najis, we know, and pigs are najis. A dog is as impure as a pig.
Right.
Okay. But for some reasons, sometimes it becomes necessary to keep a dog. For example, you have a premise, a house, a courtyard, or a property which needs to be protected. Okay, there's no problem in keeping a dog. But taking a dog inside your house and carrying it, looking after the dog without such a need is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because a dog is impure. Its hair falls off here and there. And if there's one strand of dog hair on your body or on your clothes, your prayer will become white. Your prayer will become white.
What about cats hair?
The cats are also the same.
Mm-hmm.
Cats are not najis.
Right.
But the fur of the animals whose meat is haram to eat will affect your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the opinion of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei.
If you are not certain,
there is cut fur. If you are not certain, you don't know.
Yes.
And it's not necessary to do anything when you are not. We don't know whether it's cut hair or it's my hair. Okay.
Yes.
So it's okay to continue your prayer, offering your prayer. But you know, it's very quite easy to distinguish between cut hair and one's own hair. One's own hair.
Right.
Dog hair. They are very coarse. The hair of a dog is very coarse, and so is the case. The same is the case with the hair of a cat.
Right.
And the thing is that Ayatollah, for example, Ayatollah Sistani says that if there are more than three strands of cat hair, the prayer is affected. Otherwise, if there are three strands and less than three strands of hair, then it's okay. It's still permissible to continue praying with that dress or the body or with that hair. But this is not the opinion of many other religious scholars, including His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. They are of the view that it's not permissible to have the fur of any halal or haram animals.
Mm.
Okay. But pigs and dogs are absolutely forbidden.
Mm.
Okay. Because they are najis, essentially impure.
Yes.
And so is the case
exactly.
To other animals which are not allowed to have on our body while praying.
Okay, thank you very much, Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, whereby we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.